Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Today we will be, our study will be on the topic of prayer. There's notes in the back. If you didn't grab one yet, please do so, so you can follow the outline and be able to jot down notes. And actually, today, just for a heads up, I'd like to make this more participatory. So there's going to be especially a section that you will have the chance to participate. And we want to encourage one another, right? This is such a, as all our topics have been, they're such important topics. But this one, prayer, is one that we can actually share. And we actually do already participate together, as we just did earlier. So, prayer. There at the top of your sheet, you have a question answer from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and it says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Amen. So that's what prayer is, defined by the Shorter Catechism of Westminster. Offering up our desires to God, things that are agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, of course, with confession of our sin and thankful acknowledgement of his mercy. Amen. John Calvin said this, prayer is a communication between God and us whereby we expound to him our desires, our joys, our sighs, in a word, all the thoughts of our hearts. And that comes from John Calvin, his instruction in faith. He also said this in the Institutes, in prayer we may, by faith, reach those riches which are laid up for us with the Heavenly Father. Okay? Amen. Reach those riches. Isn't that sound so great that we have access to the riches in the Lord? And Calvin says, this is what we do in prayer. By faith, we reach for those riches which are laid up for us. The Lord has them for us already. Amen. And then John Bunyan, a lot of you know of John Bunyan. One of his quotes, he says, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, okay? You can do other things after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed, right? Jesus said it this way, you can do what with me? Or without me, I should say. Nada, nothing, zilch, right? And Bunyan says, you can do more than prayer, but after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed, right? And we know this as for a fact because Jesus said it so clearly that we need him. We need to go to him first. And then finally, John Bunyan, I like this. I'm sure you will appreciate it too. He says, pray often. Pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. Now you probably... Thank you, brother. I was just going to say, we probably all have a favorite clause in that sentence, right? Pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. Okay? Amen. Amen. So, as we think about prayers and the different types of prayers, the different categories, or different elements in prayer, Ring Gudem said this. He said, prayers are petitions or intercession, confession of sin, adoration, praise and thanksgiving, and also God communicating to us indications of his response, okay? Petitions or intercessions, confession of sin, adoration, praise and thanksgiving, okay? All these I'm sure we're all familiar with as categories of prayer, okay? And then he goes on to say, we pray to express our trust in God. We pray to express our trust in God, to express our love for God, to participate as his children an activity that is eternally significant. Amen. To express our trust in God, to express our love for God, to participate as His children in something, in an activity that is eternally significant. Okay? So, as we go to your first entry there, first bullet point that you can go ahead and jot in. We think about prayer and the privilege and necessity for prayer and our desire to mature in it. We're going to start with first things first, right? And this is one of the things that the Lord Jesus taught in the model prayer in Matthew 6. So the first bullet point that you can fill in there is praise and thanksgiving, okay? Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. And you have the references there already noted for you there in the sub-bullets, Matthew 6, Psalm 100, Philippians 4:6, and Colossians 4:2, okay? So, as we think about praise and thanksgiving, in fact, if we just think as prayer in general, what should be the prayer that comes most naturally for us? Think, and please participate in your mind. When we think about prayer, what should be the most natural prayer for us that comes so easily for? No one would say easily, but I mean say so naturally for us. Okay, so when we think about prayer, there's petition, there's confession of sin, there's, right, the categories we talked about. There's praise, thanksgiving, there's different types of prayers. But what, is there a prayer that you find is most natural for you? Most
adoration,
very good, yes, very good, yeah. And praise and adoration, this is what Jesus taught in the model prayer, right? When he said, what's the first thing he said? About the model prayer, Matthew 6. You guys know it by heart. I know you know it by no heart. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, the first thing he says is that God, Lord, your name be hallowed. In other words, your name be made holy, be declared holy. Your name be sanctified, be set apart as holy, be treated with reverence. He was already worshiping God, and that's the way. For us, right, as believers, that should come naturally right off the bat. Whenever we think about our Lord and you know who He is and what He has done for us, prayer, praise, and adoration, thanksgiving should just come naturally, right? We just heard a very encouraging message about Psalm 100. That's the next reference there on your bullet point list. Psalm 100. Thinking about thanksgiving and coming to God with praise, entering His gates with thanksgiving, right? Oh, I mean, it's just so right there, right off the top, right off the bat. This is where we're going to be when we come in prayer. How about Philippians 4:6, when the Apostle Paul, he instructed the Philippians, he said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, okay? So sure, we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, but Paul says, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the last bullet point there, Colossians 4:2. To the Colossians, Paul said this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, okay? Continue steadfastly. The encouragement is to continue in prayer steadfastly and being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Okay? So all of these things pointing in the scripture, we're going to showing us how front and center, really, praise and thanksgiving and adoration should be for our Lord as we enter prayer. So, when we consider God's greatness, as we just mentioned, when we consider God's greatness, how great He is and how we truly appreciate all that He is and all He has demonstrated in us toward us through his love. That prayer of praise and thanksgiving is more than just a mere thank you, Lord. No, it should be an expression of our heart, words that reflect the thankfulness and the true love from our hearts. Amen. So the next few categories we can actually, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm going to give them all to you guys right now, okay? But these next few categories, actually, we can call them the prerequisites for prayer, that honors God, prayer that's effectual, okay? So the first one, the next bullet point would be obedience. And those references start with Psalm 68, okay? Obedience. The third bullet point would be confessing sin. Confessing sin. The next bullet point would be forgiving others. Forgiving others. And then the last one on that, on this side of the sheet, the last bullet point would be humility. Okay? Humility. So we started with praise and thanksgiving. Then obedience is the next bullet point. The third bullet point is confessing sin. Then forgiving others. And then humility. Okay? So that's the next section we're going to be covering here. So, obedience. Obedience. So prayer as a whole is our relationship or a relationship with God as a person, right? This is how we commune with God. This is how we express our relationship. This is how we interact with God. So anything in our lives, we know this, anything in our lives that displeases our Lord is going to hinder our prayers, okay? But on the other hand, when we are obedient, when we live in a life walking with him in obedience, in obedience to his word, then we have confidence that he hears our prayers. Can someone look up Psalm 66 and read for us verses 18 and 19, please? Psalm 66, 18 and 19.
If I see wickedness in my heart, Lord will not hear. Certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended the voice of my prayer. So the psalmist, with that confidence, because he understood, he knows, if there's sin here, it blocks my communion with the Lord. Okay? But because he is walking in obedience to the Lord, truly, God has listened, he says, and attended the voice of my prayer. How about Psalm 15:8, please, someone else.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, mm-hmm. But the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him.
Amen. Thank you, sister. So the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. He doesn't accept offerings from the wicked or their sacrifices, okay? Scripture tells us, though, that the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Okay. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. And this one, I think a lot of us have this one memorized, Psalm 119:11. Anyone want to quote it by memory? Remember which one that one is? Your word I have
treasured in my heart that I may not sin against.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or I may not sin against you. Amen. So in obedience, we treasure God's word for our daily living, right? And from Scripture, we know that God hears, as we just read, God hears and accepts the prayers from those of his children who are obedient. Good. Okay, I'm gonna try to. Okay, never mind. Confessing sin. Next section. Let's go to the next one. Actually, I'm sure that we all would agree pretty much on these next these few sections as prerequisites to effectual prayer. So we can go through these pretty quickly because I want to get to and give you a little spoiler alert. I want to spend more time on one of the other sections. In fact, I want to spend the bulk of our time there, okay? So confessing sin is a vital part, actually, of obedience to our Lord because confession of our sin, we know it's necessary for keeping and restoring that close day-to-day relationship with our Lord, right? Matthew 6:12, Jesus taught his disciples and us, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, right? Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others, our sin against us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Familiar. I know they're familiar scriptures, but again, if we neglect these things, neglect walking in obedience with the Lord, neglect confessing our sin, we're going to hinder our prayers. What about forgiving others? Forgiving others. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, the first your first bullet point there under forgiving others. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, when you're praying, forgive. When you get to ready, when you start your prayer, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So again, to keep and to maintain that day, that close day-to-day relationship with our Lord, we must confess our own sin. Wayne Grudem in his systematic theology book said this, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts against someone else, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts against someone else, then we are not acting in a way that is pleasing to God or helpful to us. So God declares in Matthew 6:12 and 14 and 15 that he will distance himself from us until we forgive others. Okay? We actually put a distance between us and the Lord if we cannot forgive. What about humility? How important is humility? James 4, your first reference there. James 4, 6, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. One thing I've heard years ago and I always appreciated it is that there is no pride in the shadow of the cross, is there? When we come to Jesus, there cannot be any pride, right? And then in 4:10, James says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Okay? One more. Luke 18:14, you guys know the story. When Jesus teaching about which prayer is acceptable and which person would be justified and which one would not. The Pharisee who was bragging on himself and the tax collector, they both went to the temple to pray, right? And you know the situation. The Pharisee was proud of his accomplishments in his head, and the tax collector, he was so humble, so humiliated of his sin that he couldn't even look up to heaven. He would just pound on his chest, beat on his breast, a sign of deep mourning, okay? And Jesus said that he was the one that went home justified. Why? Because Jesus said in verse 14, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So humility in prayer is the only attitude to have in prayer, right? We know this. We understand this. Otherwise, this attitude of pride before God is going to be completely wrong. It is completely wrong, and it gains us nothing but that opposition from God. And I'm sure, I am positive, none of us wants to be opposed by God, right? Okay, so now, I gave you a little spoiler alert earlier. Let's go to the next section. And this is where I want to spend the bulk of our time, actually. So, the first one, the first bullet point there that you would, for your entry, would be meditate on Scripture. Meditate on Scripture. Okay? Meditate on Scripture. I know that we need to understand the importance of meditating on Scripture in regards to our prayers. Donald Whitney, I'm sure I recall our brother Aaron already mentioned that Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, is an excellent, excellent resource. Anybody have it already? Or from an old copy?
Just borrowed your wife's.
I was just going to say, some of you may have it already. I was just going to say, someone agreed to join me and read the whole thing again, or read the whole thing. But she has a 15-year-old copy that she just didn't want to let go of. But I have the newer version, so yeah, we're going to go through that one. But yeah, excellent resource. So Donald Whitney says this in Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He says, Christian meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture. You guys have the quote there. Christian meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon life from a scriptural perspective, for the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer. Okay? So Christian meditation, right? Christian meditation, because we have all heard of meditation, secular meditation or pagan meditation, right? It's one of the famous parts of it is that you empty your mind, right? You empty your mind. No, Christian meditation, we're have deep thinking. We're focusing on the truths and spiritual truths that we see in Scripture and how they speak of life from a spiritual, from God's perspective, from the Word of God's perspective, and they're for us, for our understanding, for our application, and for our prayers, right? So, again, biblical meditation involves filling our minds with God and His truth, and this meditation is going to require, it's going to require work on our part. It's going to require a constructive mental activity. We meditate on the things that are true. For example, in Philippians 4:8. And when we do that, when we link these things with our prayer, it says when we link about meditation and prayer, then we're going to be able, by God's Spirit, by His Spirit-empowered action in our lives, He's going to effect change in our lives, right? Okay, let me just read for you Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Where are we going to find these things? In whom, I should ask? In whom are we going to find these? Amen. In our Lord, yes. So when we link meditation and prayer, meditating on these things, these biblical truths, when we link those with our prayer, then God's Spirit, by His empowered action in our lives, is going to affect changes in our lives, right? We can't do it on our own. Again, Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. You cannot do anything without me, okay? So, hearing, we know, and we practice this here, and I know you do too, and it's praise God, but hearing the word, reading the word, studying the word, and even memorizing the word are all ways of taking in God's word, right? We know this. We know this is so needful in our lives. But meditation, biblical meditation goes a step deeper, right? I'm going to share an analogy that Whitney uses, and actually you have a blank there. You can go ahead and fill it out. Let me give it to you. A cup of tea. Go ahead, fill it in. A cup of tea. I wish he would have used coffee, but he used tea. A cup of tea, okay? A cup of tea, analogy about a meditation analogy, all right? We have any tea drinkers? I know my brother's a tea drinker. Amen. Okay. So get the picture in your mind, analogy of biblical meditation and making a cup of tea, okay? So Whitney, he talks about that meditation on Scripture is letting the Bible, the Word of God, brew in our mind, okay? You know how we make a cup of tea, take the tea and you put it in the hot water, and what begins to happen? It starts to change the color, right? It starts to change the color. That's the first thing we see. It starts changing the color. So likewise, he says, biblical meditation is coloring our thinking as we start to just deeply think about God's word and just take it in and take time to enjoy those truths and really just absorb them. It colors our thinking about God and about his ways and the world and about ourselves. Okay, so again, similarly, as the tea flavors, then the flavor starts getting stronger, right? It starts getting better. So like the tea flavor in the water, meditation, we constantly begin to taste. We begin to taste or experience the reality taught in Scripture. And then that information that we read that's on the page, it actually becomes an experience in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, right? So reading the Bible, if we just read a section of Scripture, for example, reading the Bible will tell us that of God's love, right? So reading the Bible will tell the believer, yes, God's word says that he loves me. But meditation, when we meditate on that truth, when we meditate on that fact and that beauty of that, it's more like it convinces us that personally, God loves me, right? In ways that are appropriate biblically, and it causes us to, by his Spirit, to actually sense his love, right? Yes, yes, this is why sometimes we begin to weep when we seriously consider God's will, when we meditate on his truth and his love for us and his goodness to us, and we begin to see that, remember that in our own lives, how time and time again, perhaps we think about how he's been faithful, how he's been good to us, how he delivered us from the wrath of God. We cannot help but feel his love, right? John Owen said this, pray as you think, okay? Pray as you think, as you're taking in the word of God, as you're meditating on his word. Consciously embrace with your heart every gleam of light and truth that comes to your mind. Thank God for and pray about everything that strikes you powerfully, okay? So as you're meditating on God's word, as you're going through God's word and seriously considering God's word, he says, embrace it with your heart. Embrace everything, every light that you receive every truth that comes to your mind, and everything that strikes you powerfully, embrace it. Keep it. Let's take an example from the Bible, how the biblical writer did this, okay? And you have the reference there. Yes, okay, you have it there, good. Psalm 19, can someone read for us Psalm 19? Let's turn to Psalm 19 and we'll read it together. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7, please. 7 to 11.
The law of Yahweh is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, even more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your slave is
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. So David, he's seriously contemplating God's word, God's law, God's commandments. They're perfect. They're sure. They make one wise. They're right. They rejoice our heart. God, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. His rules are true, righteous. They're more desirable than the riches of the world. Sweeter than honey, he says. And by them, he says, your servant is warned. And because in keeping them, there is great reward. What's David doing here? Starts with an M. Yes, he's meditating on God's word and how beautiful and how true they are and how great they are. And then he says in verse 14, I think a lot of you memorize this one too, 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's exactly what David was doing here as he was worshiping the Lord. He was thinking and meditating on of God's goodness and how wonderful his law is, how wonderful his commandments are, how beneficial they are to the person who obeys God. So he framed his prayer in verse 14. What's his prayer in verse 14? That his mouth, that what he, the words he speaks, that the meditation in his heart, that would be always acceptable in God's sight. Amen? So, his words, his meditation in verses 7 to 11 are the ones that formed his prayer in verse 14, right? So see how that worked out in Scripture? There's an example for us. Matthew Henry, Puritan, Bible commentator and pastor, he said this about Psalm 19. David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditation, as meditation is the best preparation for prayer. So prayer is the best issue of meditation. Meditation and prayer go together. Okay, let me read that again. David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditations. As meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of meditation. Meditation and prayer go together, right? And we know this. I know that many of us have experienced this as we truly take time to meditate, to go deeper with God's word, that it would change our hearts, our thinking. So if we think of the process of how this works, it would go like this, that after we take this input or this passage of scripture, meditation is what's going to allow us to take what God has said and to think deeply on it, to digest it, and then speak to God about it in a meaningful prayer, right? And so as a result of that, then what we've found in scripture, in the word, is now actually personalized for us through meditation, right? Whitney said this as well in his Spiritual Disciplines book. And not only when we do this, when we meditate on God's word, not only do we have something substantial to say in prayer, as well as the confidence that we are praying God's thoughts to him, but we transition smoothly into prayer and with more passion for what we're praying about, right? I'm sure you've experienced that as well. As we're reading something and it just strikes you and you realize how wonderful God's word is for you personally, you just easily can begin praying, okay? Okay, you have... Okay, so you have the scripture reference there of Joshua and Wade. It would be another example for you to look at, but... For the sake of time, I want to continue because this is the part where I would like us to be more participatory, okay? So let's look at another example of scripture or a section of scripture we can use for meditation and prayer. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, okay? Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Let's turn there. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. So as you read with me, think about those what the writer is saying here about our Savior. He says, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay? So if you were sitting at home, having your time with the Lord, meditating on Scripture, this section of Scripture, what would be encouraging to you here? What would you, what struck you? What did you find there that was true, beautiful, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise? Very good. Yes, brother. Did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And number one, brothers, exactly, that we have a high priest that he can empathize, he can sympathize with our struggles, and yet he did it without sin. But yet, not only that we as a group have this Savior, but as you're there taking God's word, it becomes personal. You say, my Savior, he knows what I'm going through right now. He knows when I struggle. He knows what I struggle with. He was tempted, like I do, to become angry, to become lustful, to be wanting to retaliate, to tempted to worry. No, he knows. And yet, he did not sin. So we can, okay, I'm going to stop there. Just that one. Someone else, share something else that would encourage you to prayer, that struck you as And maybe you've already, maybe this is one of your favorite sections of Scripture, it is mine, that you in the past have been able to praise God for, or has helped you in your prayer.
In verse 16.
Okay.
So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, and if we're going through a difficult time, we can come to the problem.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes. Verse 16, that when we are struggling, we're going through a tough time, verse 16 tells us that we may receive. We can go to that. Well, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. We may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, brother. Yes, amen. And we've experienced that. Amen. Someone else.
And what I'm drawing near to is the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment.
Yes. Thank you, sister. We're drawing near that throne of grace. I mean, just think about that as you meditate on that. Think about that. Where is that throne of grace?
In heaven.
Yeah. Jesus then, just like we were going through the New Testament, the Old Testament, right? And we have beautiful description of the ark and how the high priest, he could only go in to offer that sacrifice once a year for the sins of the people. But Hebrews is so beautiful because it refers to those, they were just types and shadows of the real thing. Jesus, he pierced the heavens with his own flesh to offer, and his death to offer that sacrifice that justifies us, grants us access to that very throne of God. Oh, it's amazing when you stop and you just meditate on that truth and you say, that he did that for me. He did that for me. Otherwise, I would be facing God's wrath. I'd still be facing God's wrath. Amen. Wow. One more person. Please share.
So I think I might win because of all that, with confidence.
Yes.
Warrior, think about it.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, sis. Yes. With confidence. Let's make this a little analogy with your own kids, grandkids. When they come running into the little one, when they're little, still toddlers, when they come running into your room and they jump on your lap or jump up there with you while you're reading, do they have any problem asking you for what they want? No, because they know you love them. They know you've done so much, even though you give them the cintos once in a while maybe, but they know you love them and they have no problems coming to you with confidence. They come to you, they come running in confident. I want an ice cream. I want this. I want that, right? But very good, sister. Yes, with confidence we can approach our Father. Amen. Let's do one more. It's just because I know we're running out of time. The other sections you guys have there, you have the references, praying according to God's will, praying with faith, and praying earnestly, okay? But let's look at Philippians 4:6. I really appreciate Philippians 4:6, and this might even be some of you your favorite, one of your favorite sections of Scripture, or one of your memory verses, perhaps. Philippians 4:6. Let's turn there. Philippians 4:6 says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or comprehension, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's try that exercise again. Please look and share. Same thing that is very encouraging to you, or and that would help you to just bless the Lord in prayer, in your prayer.
nothing so big or nothing so small that you can't take it before him.
Yes, amen, sis. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anything. We can do anything. And what happens when we do that? Sister mentioned we can take anything to God and not worry about it and not and be thankful, it says, and give with thanksgiving. What's the result of doing that?
Peace.
Peace, yes. Thank you, sister. Yes, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? I heard a really good, we'll close with this. I heard a very good, just a short commentary talking about this, how when we take our prayers to the Lord and with thanksgiving in all things, not for all things, of course, we struggle, right? And at times we have trials, but with thanksgiving, when we do this, God's peace that it says, verse 7, surpasses all understanding or comprehension. It's beyond that we don't even get it. It's going to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And he was referring to, I'm sure almost probably everyone have heard of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Bessie, right? The story, true story, when they were in a Nazi prison camp. She lost all her sister, her father, her brother. She lost all her Corrie ten Boom lost her family in those camps. But as they were in the women's barracks, it was infested with fleas and lice and, you know, all kinds of critters. And Corrie's sister, Bessie, was thanking God for the fleas. Bessie was thanking God, and Corrie says, I don't understand. How could you thank God for fleas? It was beyond Corrie's, at that moment, it was beyond her comprehension that the peace that Bessie had to be able to thank God. But it turned out, because of those fleas, the male guards would not come into the barracks to attack the women, right? And did not hinder their Bible studies that they were sharing the gospel. So, in fact, this commentator said, if you haven't read the book, shame on you. And he said, and if you haven't read the movie or watched the movie, shame on you. So, of course, we had to watch the movie. But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful story, but it's an excellent example. I thought it was an excellent example of this, that when we are not anxious, we're not worrying about things, but we take it to the Lord. We, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, they make them known to God. God's peace does guard our hearts. That peace that surpasses anything that this world knows. Amen? This is great. Okay. So, like I said, you have the other reference. Oh, sorry, you have a couple of blank spaces there. So that is for you. Those are your favorite scriptures or your favorite a section of scripture that you and put it in there. And then let's do this exercise again. Perhaps you've done it already. Amen. Anybody want to call out a favorite portion of scripture or favorite scripture?
Habakkuk 3:17-19.
Are you guys related? Habakkuk 3:17, sister? Yes. And up to 19, you said? 3, Habakkuk. I'm sorry, the Spanglish is getting in the way. In Spanish, we say Habakkuk. So Habakkuk in English, 3:17-19. Thank you, sis. Anyone else? Someone else share a favorite? I'm teasing you, sis, because you know there's your other sister there. That's one of her favorites.
3, 5, 6.
Which one, sis? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very good. Yes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with
all your heart, mind, and soul. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will guide your
path. Yes, amen. Trust in the Lord with everything, and don't rely on your own understanding, and he is the one that will guide you. He is the one that will lead you in the paths that are straight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else?
Romans 8:28.
Thank you, brother. ¿Qué dice? See, we got Spanish here, too.
And we know that all things God works for the good for all those who love him, because being called according to his purpose and plan.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Romans 3:28. When we meditate on God's word, these precious truths, they bless our soul, and we make it so natural for us to just energize our prayers, amen, that we honor him in our prayer life, amen, amen, amen. Let's close now in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters again, Lord. Thank you for your word, my God. Oh, Father, we ask that you would continually, Lord, be with us and move our hearts, Lord God, as we just meditate on your magnificent truth, Lord God, that we find in Scripture, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. We ask that you would continue to build us up, build our faith, build our love, grow our love and our appreciation for you, Lord, as we look into your word and meditate on these magnificent truths, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask this for your glory and that for the growth of your kingdom alone, Lord Jesus, beginning in our own hearts, we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.